We're appreciating your story. This is a good story.
Yes. Lovely.
Okay, well, lovely story.
Lovely story. Yeah,
it's yours.
Okay.
How the king chose the daughter of a poor ascetic for his son, and how the ladies of the harem raised objections and disdained the alliance with the dervish. The prince's mother, from deficiency of understanding, said, "According to reason and tradition, equality is requisite. You, from stinginess and miserliness and shrewdness, wish to ally our son with a beggar." He said, "It is a fault to call the righteous man a beggar, for through the grace of God he is spiritually rich. He is taking refuge in contentment because of piety, not because of meanness and laziness like the beggar. The penury which arises from contentment and piety is distinct from the poverty and penury of the base. If that one finds a single coin, he bows his head, while this one, in his lofty aspiration, recoils from a treasure of gold. The king, who from greed is betaking himself to everything unlawful, the man of noble mind calls him a beggar." She said, "Where are his cities and castles, the wedding outfit, or scattering gems and pieces of gold?" He said, "Go, whoever prefers to care for religion, God cuts off from him all remaining cares." The king prevailed and gave to him a maiden of goodly nature, belonging to the family of a righteous man.
Okay. The beginning of a story. And you know how the story goes. This is about what? What are we talking about? Because this story is here. Say what? To complete the progress of our talking, right? Okay, we were talking about the difference between the animal soul and the little logical brain, which are temporary, are limited. We talked about it. He even said this is like the butter in doom, in that stuff, which is invisible, but it's there. When you try, you will get it. And these are all something in us. What is in us? I go back, step by step. Then we go back again to Gabriel and to Moses and all that stuff. It started with something silly. Do you remember there was this message coming to Moses that, "Hey, I like you. You are my favorite." And Moses asked, "Why? What do I have?" He said, "One thing." Do you remember what was that? He said, "You don't ask for anything from anyone except me." This is one of the keys here. Here again, okay, we know that the story is that the king, he thought that he would not have a child and much and blah 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 blah. Now the marriage. For the marriage again, the logical part is the lady, right? The king is the man, that's the woman. The king has decided with all these explanations, he said, to have the grandchildren and so on and so on. The ladies? Logical. Logical, he said, "Wait a minute. What are you doing? You are connecting us with that beggar family, the poor one. Rumi gave you an explanation here that, yes, watch it carefully, because the king explains what? Explains what the satisfaction is. The satisfaction comes with your attitude. If you are a normal fellow with a good spirit, if you find a little bit something, you will be really happy because you found it and you will enjoy it. But if you're like a king, you have a lot, you want more and more and more, and you're never satisfied like that one. This is the difference. Then they said, hey, no, you're talking about the reality. Because in reality, when you're bringing a lady in, that lady should bring everything. That's what it is. Because the lady herself is not worth it that much. How much they pay to do this? This is the old-fashioned way. Then, what was the last stuff? They said, hey, I'm not thinking about what she's bringing to us. I'm thinking about the path. I'm thinking about the way we live. And somehow he succeeded. Means Rumi cut it short, because this is something that could be a soap opera. And it could go on and on and on. Right? No, he will cut it off. Somehow he succeeded, because we want you to see the rest of the story. Yes.
The king prevailed and gave to him a maiden of goodly nature, belonging to the family of a righteous man. Truly, she had none to rival her in loveliness. Her face was brighter than the sun at morn. Such was the maiden's beauty, and her qualities were such that, on account of their excellence, they are not contained in description. Make religion your prey, that in consequence there may come beauty and riches and power and advantageous fortune. Know that the next world, in respect of ownership, is files of camels. The present world is its corollary, like the hare and dung. You choose the hare, the camel will not be yours. And if the camel be yours, what value has the hare?
Okay, what was all this about? Again, you see some little pointing there. He starts to Rumi explain it. The beauty of this lady and all the stuff which is a part of being the wealth and the name of the family and all that was solved. Now, the beauty, and you're waiting for what? That beauty changing everything. Rumi stops. He says, okay, this lady is very beautiful, undoubtedly, but go to the deen, to the path. Think about that stuff. Because this beauty that we are talking about is secondary and will come later. We talked about the two different beauty. One is the beauty, interpretation of beauty with the people who don't understand what the beauty is. Whatever they like, they call beautiful. They call good. And there is another one with a good judgment. What is the beauty? What is the beauty? Here you have to think. There is one beauty, which is physical beauty of this lady. There is the beauty of character and all that. Could we compare these two? He says, oh, that beauty you're talking about is secondary. Because when somebody is in the path and behaves lovely, there is a beauty over there, because I am not my physical existence. I'm acting, right? So my character is visible in my manner. So there is more to physical beauty here. Yes?
When the marriage with the family of the uncontentious rightful folk was achieved by the king, by destiny, a decrepit old witch who was in love with a handsome and generous prince, an old woman of Kabul, bewitched him with sorcery of which the magic of Babylon would be envious. The prince fell in love with the ugly hag, so that he abandoned his bride and the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Now the story goes lovely. Because, okay, king tried his best, convinced the family, the household, that, okay, keep it quiet, this is a good choice. And we remember the bride is beautiful. You forgot about the magic. There is a magician here. A negative magician, because magic has good and bad both at the same time, right? Okay, this ugly magician loves this prince, so she will do a magic, and the prince falls in love with that ugly magician. Now the story really starts. Yes.
A black devil and a woman of Kabul suddenly waylaid the prince. That stinking 90-year-old hag left the prince neither wisdom nor understanding. For a year, the prince was captivated. The sole of the hag's shoe was the place where he bestowed his kisses. Association with the hag was mowing him, till through wasting away, half a spirit remained. Others had the headache on account of his weakness. He, from the intoxicating effect of the sorcery, was unconscious of himself. This world has become a prison to the king, while the sun was laughing at their tears.
Read it again.
This world had become a prison to the king, while the sun was laughing at their tears.
Yeah. Here, the mixture of laughing at the tears. Two party. The son is laughing and they are crying. Do you remember? We are talking for a long time now about these two, these two, these two, these